Hey guys, good morning. I'm Nick Baker, and I am your host. You're listening to Becoming More Than I Am Now. But there are a couple things I'm working on right now. In a couple weeks, I'm gonna be filming a new TV show called Baker's Relationship Hotline, and it's gonna have people who are struggling with their relationship, with their boyfriend cheating on them, or spouse. If you have a spouse or boyfriend that's cheating on you, or fiance, I'm going to be straightforward with you guys. I'm going to be harsh on you guys. If you come on my show, I am pretty strict on people when it comes to relationships, because it's the only way to rebuild it with your loved one, is to be hard on you. You might like me, you might hate me, but it depends on how stupid you are in your relationship. If you have a child and that man denies it, I'm going to be hard on him. And I am hard on other men than I am on women. I'm soft on women, but hard on men. And, there's a reason why I am hard on men, is because, number one, they lie. Number two, they denied their mistakes. And three, they don't man up and face up to the mistakes. And apologizing to their spouse for cheating on them, and how he has been treating his spouse. Yes, I'm always tough on husband. Wives, I'm gonna tell you. If you come on my show, Baker's Relationship Hotline, you're going to see how strict I am when it comes to men lying. Yes, I'm going to be straightforward with you. Like what I said before, you may like me, you may hate me, but I would be straightforward with you guys. I'm going to be hard on your husband. Yes, I am. Why? Because he doesn't have a brother growing up that shows him tough love, or a father that shows him tough love. And Jesus was strict on his disciples. He was hard on his disciples. And so am I. The people, the men I minister to, I am hard to the core with them. And you, every pastor has to be strict on the people, on the other men that he ministered to. And people, pastors look at me, pastors see my techniques, how I use my techniques to help fix relationships. And if a pastor is not strict on that person, relationships will not be fixed. Marriages will not be rebuilt. marriages would fall apart, relationships would fall apart. And my buddy Steven would tell you, I was hard on him. And his relationship was fixed. I gave them a choice of saying, because I told them, Steven, you have to man up and tell that girl that how you feel. And if you don't want to be with her, that's fine. That's what he did. He went up to Carolyn. That is the girl who cheated on him. Because I was very strict on Steven. Still am strict on him. I'm hardcore. Because if you don't show, pastors, if you don't show another man tough love, he's not going to learn how to be like Jesus and love like Jesus if you're not hardcore to the other men. It's, you had to be strict. You had to be tough. Tough love is the only way to make another man a man that he wants to be. My buddy Dave Hansen, he's strict on me. He shows me tough love. Because if he doesn't show me that tough love, I want to be the man I am today without him showing me that love and telling me that I should man up and treat her well with respect. And I'm going to be the same way. I'm going to be strict on you guys. I'm going to show you tough love. If you come on my show, you see how strict I am on other men. John, Apostle John talks about tough love in 1 John chapter 4. Because if you look at John and how he talks about love and how to love that person as Jesus loved before he died on the cross. And it says right here, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, meaning demons. Demons are spirits that you shouldn't believe. Why? Because they lie to you. Satan is a liar. But test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets has gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Meaning angels. Angels are spirits. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, meaning Satan, is not of God, demons. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. The Antichrist always finds ways to torment you, and to tell you that Jesus is not of the flesh. Jesus was not crucified. Jesus does not love you. That is the lie of the enemy. Satan is the Antichrist. Verse 4. says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God, God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And thus the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, and not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be petitioned for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and God and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love has cast out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And that is amazing what John is talking about, loving one another. We have to love one another. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 14 says, "And the world became flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also John chapter 1 verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him." If you want to see what Jesus says, I want to read what Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you have to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. You would be healed by God. You would be healed by Jesus when you put Jesus into your heart. When you put Jesus into your heart, you're going to see your life change. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And he has. Christ has died for us, speaks of our sins. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against Christ. Because we have to cry out to Jesus. Now that we are sinners, we have to cry out to Jesus and tell him that we are sorry for our sins. Now, we have to confess our sins. We have to say, "Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I have made mistakes. I'm sorry that I have cheated on my spouse. I'm sorry that I have lied to my mother. I've lied to my father. I've lied to my brother, my sister, my aunt, uncle, grandfather, grandmother. I'm sorry, Jesus." You have to focus on what is important for you. You have to focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he saved your life on the cross. He was nailed to a tree because he loved you. He died on the tree because he wanted to confess his love to you and show you his heart. He has his arms open wide, waiting for you to run into his arms so that he could bring you into his chest. He wanted to cling on to you and tell you how much he loves you. Why? Because he is Daddy. We were all still sinners. Paul said. Because we are still sinners. Christ has died for us. We have sinned against Christ. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is that? Knowing that our relationship has been broken. Why? Because we don't put Jesus first. We have to put Jesus first. Every relationship, every marriage we are in, we have to put Jesus first. Jesus is the only one that would guide us onto back to the right track that we need to be in. If we don't stay on the right track and keep going forward, our relationship and marriage will fall apart if we don't put Jesus first. Jesus is the only one who would help you. Jesus is the only one who will guide you. Jesus is the only one who will show you how to be a man you want to be. You have to man up and fess up to your mistakes, gentlemen. You have to man up and fess up and tell your spouse that you're sorry. You have to man up and fess up to Jesus. You have to man up and fess up to your spouse. You have to man up and fess up to your family. You have to man up and fess up to your friends. Man up and fess up to your pastor, your church, your boss. Man up. Fess up. See what Jesus would do to you and for you when you man up and fess up to your sins. Man up, fess up to Christ. Man up, fess up to the Father. And say, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I betrayed you. That's what you have to do. Man up, fess up, put on your big boy pants, and tell the truth. That's all you have to do is put on your big boy pants and fess up to your mistakes. That's all you have to do. That's all I'm asking is to put on your big boy pants and man up, fess up to the things you have done wrong. Only way to fix your marriage, your relationship, is to put Jesus first and man up, fessen up, and putting on the big boy pants and sit down with your spouse or your girlfriend, fiance, whoever. Have a family meeting. And decide, am I truly ready for a relationship? Because God would tell you, you're not man enough to be in a relationship. And that until you fetch up to me and put me into your life, then I would put somebody into your life. But Satan says that, oh, you're not going to man up. You're not going to fetch up. You're not going to be in a relationship. You're not going to have a healthy relationship. But God says, oh, you will. But He's not going to destroy. Put Jesus first. Always put Him first. If you put Him first, you will see the change of your life. You will see your life change. You can see your relationship stronger than ever, than you have ever seen it stronger before. Jesus is going to fix your life. Jesus is going to fix your relationship. Jesus is going to fix your marriage. If you have possessions, and you're possessed with money and things that is not important to you, your spouse is going to leave you. Bye-bye. I have a friend who's possessed with money. Her name is Jessica. Her husband, KC, is leaving her, divorcing her. Why? Because she's possessed with money. Money, 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 money. Money is the recipe to destroy relationships. Possessions always destroy relationships. If you want a good relationship, good marriage, get rid of your possessions. Give it all to Jesus. And that's all you could do is give it all up to Jesus. When you give it up to Jesus, you will feel better about yourself. Give back to your community. Give it to the orphans and widows. Give it to the church that is building an orphanage for these orphans. Give to the ministries. We are always looking for donations for the orphans and widows. Always. Use it for this ministry. Go to TS Family. ChristianCenter.com, and you could donate as money as you want. TS Family ChristianCenter.com. Donate to the camp, donate to the ministry. You could donate to the orphans and widows, because we are always looking for donations to take care of the orphans. We are always looking for something to make this ministry grow. Because this show is the reason why the ministry is growing. This podcast is the reason why this church is growing. Put Jesus first. If Jesus is calling you to donate to ministry, to take care of the orphans and widows, to build an orphanage in Kenya, Thailand, anywhere, you do it. You have to do it. And when you donate, you're going to see a difference into your life. You're going to see change. Relationships would be stronger than ever if you put Jesus first. Focus on the cross. When you focus on the cross, you're going to see a difference in your relationship. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father, I thank you this morning. For those who are listening to this podcast, I just ask that you take their broken relationship and fix it. Fix these broken marriages. get and take away all of the possessions there is. Like I see in Casey and Jessica's marriage. Possessions, possessions, money, 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 money. Money, money. Money is the reason why marriages and relationships have fallen apart, because we are possessed with money. We don't give back to the orphans who live, so we don't give back to our communities. We just hold on to it. We are selfish, Father. We are selfish, and yes, with my new show that you're calling me to do in a couple weeks, yes, I'm going to be strict and tough on these young men. Why? Because they need tough love. They need to know what Jesus has done to show his disciples tough love. And it's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Gentlemen, pastors, like what I said before, if you disciple a young man, you have to show him tough love. Tough love would help to fix relationships. I'm telling you. I'm going to lead into your prayer before I close. Repeat this prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I am possessed with money. Help me get rid of those possessions. Help me become a man I want to become. Come into my relationship. Come into my heart. Make me a man my spouse wants me to become. Help me see my future and what my future is going to be. In your name, amen. You're going to see a difference in your life when you pray that prayer. Your relationship is not going to be the same as it is. And read your Bibles. Pastors, show those young men tough love. God bless, and thanks for listening.
Good morning, guys. I'm Nick Baker. I'm your host, and you're listening to Becoming More Than I Am Now. And, it's away for a week. So I was taking a break from my podcast. And also, I haven't made fun of a while lately. Last week, I went to Florida. And I had a good time visiting my family. But, this morning, good morning, brother. Well, Brother Dave is going to join us on the podcast this morning. What's that? Welcome, join me. That's how I record my podcast.
Oh, you're recording your podcast.
Yep. Well, good morning to everybody. I'm going to start off in prayer real quick this morning. Father, I thank you. As we approach the 1 year anniversary of Marjory Douglas High School mass shooting, Father, I just ask that you protect them, and I thank you for talking to me this morning. Thank you for giving me a chance last week to give all my sins up to you, Father. And I thank you for Gerald. And I thank you for his family, the whole Warden family, Father. I thank you for them. And I thank you and praise you. It's in your name. Amen. Well, guys, there's one thing that annoyed me recently about abortion. I was listening to Mark Taylor yesterday, and it's mind-boggling what is going on here, and why why Andrew Cuomo and Hillary Clinton got together, and they were talking about abortion. Aborting babies with Down syndrome. That is disgusting. Brother Dave is on the book of John, chapter 1. And I want you to follow along with me. I'm reading out of the New King James Bible, chapter 1 of John. And I want you to understand this. Understand what is going on here. And it says, it talks about Genesis. Starts off with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All this, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and it's a very long chapter, but I am going to read the whole thing. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Meaning John the Baptist. John said that the one who comes, I baptize you with water. The one who comes before me would baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. How amazing is that? The one comes before me would baptize you with His Holy Spirit and with fire. And we will get to that as we go on. And it says that this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Guys, there are people out there who don't know Jesus, that don't receive Him. And we have to receive Him. We have to see what we are in Him. And to be in Him is to know Him. And to know Him is to be in Him, and to be in His glory. And with Him being in us, we all have to be in Him. We all have to rejoice in Him. We all have to give our praises to Him. We have to repent of our sins to Him. Give our challenges to Him. We have to. If we don't give our all to Him, we are nothing. We won't be anything in life if we don't give to Jesus. And we have to give to Jesus. We have to give all to Jesus. My new book I'm writing, called The Mark of the Beast. Yes, that was before, but I'm rewriting it in a series form. But I do want you to understand the purpose of it and the purpose of what is going on in this country. It's all about mind control. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. I'm going to stop there for a moment. But I'm not going to read the whole chapter today. But I do want to read the whole chapter. Piece by piece. I am going to continue this. I am starting a series on the book of John. I'm going to be on the first chapter until tomorrow. Because I'm going to read first 13 and 17 tomorrow. And next week we could go to the rest of it. But I want you to understand why the government is so why the government wants to murder unborn children. Actually, I'm going to jump over in chapter 1. Next week we could go to chapter 2 tomorrow. But I want to jump over to verse 39. And I want to go to verse 51 in chapter 9. Well, in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. Actually, let's go to verse 35. It says, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus. He walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Let's go to verse 39. It says, he said to them, come and see. This is Philip talking to his brother. Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. I'm going to stop there. How amazing is that? Come and see Jesus. Come and see Jesus. I'm going to take a quote from Dave Sherman. 2 weeks ago, before I left to go on vacation, there was a little boy that come here on Friday night with his grandmother. And he was out in their lobby all alone. And Dave asked him, what's going on? What's the matter? Why are you sad? The little boy looked at David and said, God is lonely. How true is that? God is lonely. Our daddy's lonely. That little boy knew how God feels. And I ask that this morning for you to come to Jesus. Come to the Father. Jesus talked about the prodigal son. And we are prodigal children. I am a prodigal son. And I turned to Jesus last week. And I gave them all of my sins that I've committed over the years. In 5 years of this ministry, going on 6 years in June on the 28th. Can't believe I'm already on the fourth season of this show. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sins and ask Him to come into your heart. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you get to see a difference in your life. You get to see a difference in your relationship with Him and with your family. Oh, He did this, He did that. Stop with the he said, she said. Say, Daddy, I am sorry of my sins. I'm sorry for what I have done. I'm sorry. Come to Jesus right now. When you ask Jesus into your life, if you're going to a church that don't talk about repentance, get out of that church. Get out of that church. I talk about what these churches don't talk about. Your pastor doesn't want to talk about repentance, love. When it comes to Donald Trump, your pastor says, hate the president, hate the president. Hate him, hate him, hate him, hate her. Get out of that church. If you go to a church that supports the transgender, the abortion, get out of there. And I know some of you who listen to the podcast live in Port Jervis. And I ask that you get out of St. Peter's Church right now. Get out of that church. Aaron Boffman is a false teacher. The false witness. And he says that every woman has a right to murder her child. What kind of pastor does that? What kind of pastor does that? The pastor should sit with that individual in his office face to face and talk and give advice and say, do you want this child or not? If you don't, I know a family who does when this child is born. Instead of saying, oh, you have a right to murder your child. Abortion is getting out of control, ladies and gentlemen. It is. Abortion is getting out of control. Especially towards the ones with Down syndrome. And we have to repent of our sins. Pastor Aaron, I know you're listening to this. I don't hate you. You think that I hate you, but I don't hate you. I love you, Aaron. I do. You're a good man ever since I met you. But all I'm asking is you to repent of your sins. If you want your church, St. Peter's, to stay open, Repent of your sins right now and come to Jesus. I'm not just only talking to Pastor Aaron. I'm talking about any other pastors who support abortion. There are churches out there who look at a child with disability and just turn them away. And we have to stop and think what we're doing is wrong. And why are you doing it? And ask ourselves, is it of God or isn't it of Satan? We have to focus on the importance of life. Focus on the importance of loving one another. I love John 3:16. I love it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even Philippians 4:18 says that, well, 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And it does. Fear has to do with punishment. The spirit of fear of Lucifer. And what is going on with our government, with our churches. The 501c3 is keeping our church hush, hush, hush. It is. Hush, hush. And we don't even, we are abusing 501c3. It's how many seats we fill in our church every Sunday. How many people come into our sanctuary every Sunday morning? That's all it's about. It's all about the money. It's all about fancy shoes, fancy clothes, fancy cars, private jets. Creflo Dollar is talking about getting money. Chance of the Plant is talking about giving money to the ministry for a private airliner. A jet airliner. It's all about money. These pastors are turning the house of prayer into a den of thieves. If you're going to a church that has a pastor is making the house of prayer into a den of thieves, Jesus running into the temple with a whip. Watch out! Watch out! Watch out! He turned tables left and right. He turned my father's house into a den of thieves. No, that it should be a house of prayer. And we should spend more time with Jesus in prayer and spend less time on our electronics. Spend less time watching television, watching the mainstream media, listening to the mainstream media, start listening to God and Him only. It's all about Christ and Him crucified. It's all about knowing Him, knowing Jesus, knowing what Jesus has done for us. For us to know Him, have a relationship with Him. Don't pick up a book, 90 Minutes of Heaven. Don't pick up a book, Heaven is for Real. Colin Burple and Don Piper, they're all fakes. They're delusional. Cuckoo. Nuts. They are delusional. You don't want to be surrounded by people who are delusional. You don't want to read books by people who are delusional and deny Christ. Don Piper said that he was in heaven. If you read chapter 3, well, page 33 of his book, saying that I was in heaven, I didn't see anybody. 10 years later, actually 5 years later, this book was written in 2009, mind you. 2009, this book was published. 5 years later, he said in his sermons on TBN, "Oh, I was in heaven. I see a light. And I know who it is. It's the Holy Spirit high lifted up." Which one is it, Don Piper? That you didn't see God or you didn't? You saw God or you didn't see him? These stories change. It's not your best life now. It's not. It's not your best life now. It's your worst life. Joel Osteen says that, has a book out, says it's your best life now. It's not your best life. Joel Osteen thinks it's a joke that we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle right now. We are. We are in a spiritual battle. And we have to go deeper. Joseph Peter says that we have to go deeper. Go to josephpeters.org. You can order his book. Go to gty.org. Grace to you. Grace to you. gty.org. And type up Jonathan Peters and listen to everything he says, word by word, about these false teachers. We don't even realize it. We don't even realize what we are listening to. These so-called preachers, so-called Christians. And Joel Osteen went on the Oprah Winfrey Show and talked about Christ not being the Son of God. He denied Christ. Joel Osteen went on CNN saying that everybody loves Jesus, including the Muslims, including the Hindus, including the Buddhists. No, they don't love Jesus. They don't know him. They know God, but they don't know Jesus. Why? Because they worship their own God. I'm going to close with this. I want to go to Revelation. Excuse me. It's let's go to chapter 12 of Revelation. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 10 diadems on his head, on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and his throne, meaning Jesus. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared by God, that they should flee, they should feed her there in 1,260 days. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren and accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and I did not love their lives to the dream, to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offsprings, of who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we do have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We do. And we need to testify before him. We have to come to him. We have to thank him and rejoice to him and give praise to him. And when we do give praise to him, we will see a difference in our life. We will see a difference in our thoughts and the way we think of things. And I pray this morning that you would come to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into your life right now with your hand in prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning, and I thank you as those who listen and we repent of their sins and come to you, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, for those who want to know you and to come to you in your name. Amen. With your head bowed and every eyes closed, come to Jesus right now by praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know my mistakes. Help me repent. Help me come to you. And help me build my relationship. Help my relationship be stronger than ever. In your name, amen. You pray that prayer, you're going to see a difference in your life. And I thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. And remember this. To keep strength, keep faith, love God.